I think most of you or all of you may know the lady that's going to bring us God's word today, but in case you don't, this is Linda McBride. She is retired after serving many years with Covenant Partners. So we're thankful that she was available to come and bring the word to us today. So if you will welcome Linda.
We are in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be in the 5th chapter, starting with verse 16 and going to 21. This is God's word for God's people. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh my gosh, is that awesome or what? Will you pray with me, please? Almighty Father, we pray that you will open our hearts and focus our thoughts this morning to see and hear, to receive and understand the revealing of yourself to us as we listen to your word. Lord, let your grace and your mercy and your peace flow through this place as we worship and praise you together. Amen. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon all of us this morning. Long time ago, I was thinking about this the other day. A gentleman that I knew had heart problems. This is probably 25 years ago, so we've made a lot of new steps toward helping people with heart problems. But John had heart problems for a long time and had probably every procedure that could have been done at that time for his heart. And I went and visited him, and we talked about many things. But one of the things that he said really stood out for me, and I always remember it. He said, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Amen? We've made a lot of mistakes in our life. And even after I came to faith in Christ, you know what? I made some mistakes. But every single day when I woke up, I thank God that I had a new day to start over, a new day to begin again. I always remember that, because sometimes we get so much in a hurry, we forget each day to thank God we have a new day to start over. And God allows us to start over. When I was a child, we grew up in a neighborhood that had a lot of children. And we would play games, you know, that we were familiar with, kickball and dodgeball and all those games, but we would make up games too. And sometimes when things didn't go our way, we'd say, do-overs! You know, maybe we didn't do it right the first time, or we didn't get it done the way we thought we wanted to, or whatever that might have been. We'd yell do-overs, and sometimes we could do it over, and sometimes people would say, no, we're not doing that again. And if any of you sew or you knit or you crochet and you know you're going along like this and you look back and go, oh my gosh. And you have to take it all out and do it over, right? Or sometimes we might have a new recipe. If you've ever tried a new recipe, then you have to read the instructions. And sometimes we think we don't really need to read the instructions and we just put the things together. And, whew, it is not good. So we would have to do it over if we could. Maybe I still send cards to people and write letters, but we like to text and we like to send emails. But sometimes we are writing something or texting something and we look down and we go, ooh, that doesn't sound right. Or, well, sometimes we don't think about it and we just send it anyway. But hopefully we think about it and we can delete it and start over, can't we? We can backspace and write something new. We can do it over really quickly. And sometimes our lives are like that. We don't feel right with God. We don't feel right in our relationships with someone or with other people. We just don't feel right about it. And I wonder how many of you, we had a show of hands, sometime in your life, as you've said to yourself or somebody else, if I could just do that again, if I could just start over this day or this week and do things differently. How many? Go ahead and raise your hand. Have you ever thought that? Maybe it was yesterday, right? Or maybe it was when you were a teenager and you got older and you thought, oh my gosh, I wish I could have just not done that. Maybe I wish I hadn't gone there. I wish I hadn't said that. We want to do it over. We want to do over. But we'd like to maybe, some of us would have liked to have started our lives over again and do things differently. I'm sure there's a lot of people who think that today. Well, here's the thing. We can. We might say, you know what? I need a do-over, Lord. I need a do-over. But God's word that we just read tells us that we can. What does it say in verse 17? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone. And the new has come, a new creation. Anyone, it doesn't say a specific group, it's just anyone in Christ, a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The new has come. The slate is wiped clean. Oh my gosh. We can be united with Christ through faith in Him and a commitment to Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have a new life to begin again, to start over. When I think about that sometimes, do you think about that? We should, shouldn't we? We shouldn't take that for granted. It shouldn't be some mundane words written on a piece of paper. It's something that we should carry in our hearts and in our thoughts every single day, that we are new creations, that we can begin again, as John said, every single day. I messed up yesterday. Lord God, forgive me. But when I say that, I mean it. Please forgive me. And now I have an opportunity to begin again, to start over. This new day. We can be brand new on the inside. Brand new. That doesn't mean I'm going to get, you know, different hair or no wrinkles or whatever. It means that I am new on the inside. New on the inside. And the thing is that it's not that we are reformed or rehabilitated or re-educated. We are recreated. We are new creations. New creations. And we're not just like turning over a new leaf. We are beginning a new life. A new life. We have an opportunity to start again. A do-over. A new day. And it doesn't matter who we are, what we look like, what kind of clothes we wear, where we have been, what we have done, where we live, what kind of education we have. That doesn't matter. Whether we're men or women, whether it's children, we all have the same opportunity to be new creations in Christ Jesus. When we have an encounter with the living God, and I pray that you have had an encounter with the living God. We serve a living God. Not a dead God. We serve a living God. And if we have had an encounter with the living God, when we come to Jesus in faith, we repent of our sins, we believe in who he is, we become empowered by the Holy Spirit, we wear the name of Christian. We bear Christ's name. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, "So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out upon us who belong to his dear Son." Glorious grace. "He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins." And verse 18 that we, in 2 Corinthians here, it says, "God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against them." When we come to faith in Christ, we are made righteous in God's sight. We cannot be made righteous in God's sight any other way. We will never be able to do anything to be righteous in God's sight except through faith in Christ. God, our God, is a pure, holy God. He is merciful, he is just, he shows grace, but he is also a God of judgment. And I think sometimes we forget that, or we want to forget that. We don't hear judgment preached in the churches a lot of times because people don't want to offend anybody. But we serve a God who is a God of judgment, and one day there will be judgment on everybody, everyone, everyone. So we are made righteous. That means we are made right in God's sight because of our belief and faith in Jesus Christ. What God did in the beginning, when we read Genesis, wonderful. What God did with chaos at the beginning, he created something good. I love that. We read that account in Genesis, and he saw that it was very good. At the very last, the sixth day, it says, and he created, and he saw that it was very good. Before it was good, and then it was very good. Now, he creates that in us. And I'm sure when we come to faith in Christ, that would be what was right after that. And it was very good. God saw, and it was very good. When each of you came to faith in Christ, that was right after that. And it was very good. A new creation was very good. All we have to do is let him know, "Yes, Lord, I have messed up my life. I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Forgive me. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. I haven't done such a good job of it, Lord. But you can take control of me. Help me to get out of the way, get out of my way, and let you take over." I read this somewhere. I just thought of it. It said, Clean me out of me, Lord, and fill me with you. Clean me out of me and fill me with you. Don't you like that? I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to live according to your will, not mine. And if we say that and we mean it, then God does need to clean us out of us, because we're always in the way. It's always about me, 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 me. The thing is, when we, you know, it doesn't have to be a prayer that we have to memorize this prayer and we have to say just these words. Oh my gosh, no. It's even if you can't, you just can't even say anything anymore. You just say, Lord, help me, forgive me, I need you. Right? God hears you. God hears you. And the wonderful thing is that this awesome thing happens. God forgives us and makes us clean, purifies us, and makes us righteous in his sight because of his Son. He sees us through Jesus. God forgives us, makes us clean, new creations. The old is gone. The new has come. New. Someone asked me once about, a long time ago, and I always remember this. What about, will you tell me about this forgiveness thing? Sure. What do you want to know? Well, let me get this right. So if when I mess up, I sin, and I ask God to forgive me, he forgives me. I said, that's right. He said, well, what about if I sin again? And I ask God, forgive me. Does he forgive me? I said, yes, he does. So he thought about this a little bit. And he said, well, that sounds to me like it's kind of a free ticket to sin. Kind of like a cop-out. I sin, I ask for forgiveness, God forgives me. I sin, ask for forgiveness, God forgives me. It just made me kind of laugh, but I said, no, it's not really a cop-out at all. If you sincerely ask Jesus to come into your life, you sincerely come to faith in Christ, you want Jesus to be Lord of your life, you will be forgiven. But the thing is, you will also be changed. It says, repent and be saved. It doesn't say, ask for forgiveness and then live however you want to live. Do whatever you want to do. Be the same way you always have been. No. And here's the thing. We won't want to be. We won't want to be. Will we? No. Now we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to change. I can't change on my own. I want to. I want to be different. I want to love everybody. I want to help everybody. I want to do what God wants me to do, but you know, I want to do it the way I want to do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't work that way. Because as much as I want to do that, maybe I want to love you all, but I'm not going to be able to love you all because somebody's going to get on my nerves and I'm going to get upset, right? I was at Covenant Partners for 23 years. And believe me, people got on my nerves sometimes. And if it hadn't been for God, I wouldn't have been able to love them the way they deserve to be loved. and cared about, right? It's in our families, isn't it? Your children, your... Now, my grandchildren, I don't know, I don't feel the same way about them, but your husband, wife, friends, people in the grocery store, at the bank, in bus stop, whatever, people when you're driving in a car, they get on your nerves. We get upset, we get angry, sometimes we say things we shouldn't say, right? Is that true? Are you all just going? Thank you. I thought maybe I was the only one. We can't do it on our own, can we? We can't do it on our own. If you ever wanted to lose weight, you've been on a diet, I am not eating that chocolate cake. I am not eating that chocolate cake. And what do? You eat that chocolate cake. I shouldn't have ate that chocolate cake, but I did. We can't do it on our own. We're going to want Jesus to be proud of us. We're going to want to honor God with our words and with our actions. We're going to want to glorify God and not ourselves. So when we come to faith in Christ, it's not about, well, I can sin and then go to God and repent and God forgives me. That's not what it's all about. And we're not going to want to feel that way. We're not going to feel that way. We're not going to feel that way. Of course we make mistakes. We're in the body. We're human beings. But that's not an excuse, because when we come to faith in Christ, what? Christ died so that we would have power over sin and death, right? When we came to faith in him. Power. So when we have had that experience with Jesus, when we have really met him, we're going to honor God with our lives. A new creation, a new heart, new attitude, new thoughts. Our forgiveness is a great gift. And it's not to be abused. And when we think of it as that gift that we unwrap every single day, as John said, thank you, God, that I have this day to start over. Beckett Cook, I read a book from about what he had written. He said this: it's dangerous to take God's grace for granted and mess with the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't live our lives challenging God at every turn by staying just on the edge of sin. We will, or at least should, want to be completely obedient to the Father. Not only because of the great love with which he loved us, but because of the amazing grace he has shown us. And God has shown us this grace, has extended this grace to us. How can we not say, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord, for saving even me. So what I would like you to do is ask yourself this morning, I've come to faith in Christ. What's she talking about? I already know this. Am I walking closely with Jesus? Am I really walking closely with Jesus every single day, no matter where I am, no matter who I am with? Am I walking closely with Jesus? Do I wear his name with honor and integrity? Am I growing and developing and maturing as a follower of Jesus? Am I an effective representative of Christ? Oh my goodness. Do others see Jesus in me? Do others see Jesus in you? Always. Always. Wherever you are. Have I really given myself to Jesus Christ? My whole self. Everything. Am I receptive to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Or am I just doing what I want to do? Oh yeah, Lord, I'm going to do this today, and you can come along if you want to, but this is what I'm going to do. Or am I holding something back? Am I keeping part of me from him? My finances, my anger that I still have about somebody, that revenge that I'm thinking about, that dislike, intense dislike that I have for some group of people that are not like me. Is there something that maybe you have some unforgiveness that you have not let go of? Do I still have sin in my life you have not repented of and given to God? You know, we need to do this every single day. When we say we've come to faith in Christ, and somebody would say, I came to faith in Christ in 1965. But the thing is, it's a one-time wonderful experience, but it's something that we are to do every single day. Lord, help me through this day. I want to walk closely with you. I want to have a heart for your voice. I want to be in your will. I want to honor you and glorify you with my life. Use me this day however you use me. We need to do that every single day. Look at ourselves and say, Lord, clean me out of me today and fill me with your spirit. Fill me with you, Lord, so that I'm walking with you. You know, we know that evil exists. Amen. Evil exists, but sometimes we want to think of it's over there in China, and it's in the Middle East, and it's in Africa, and it's in New York City, and it's in Chicago, and whoo, it's in Indianapolis, but it's not right here. But yes, it is. Evil is everywhere. It may not be front page news items, murder, rape, bombings, whatever. It may not be that, but it's also when we dislike or even hate others because of what they look like. As I just said a minute ago, maybe we're harboring something like that. They don't look like us. They don't believe what we believe. They don't have the same color skin that we have. They don't even wear the same kind of clothes that we wear. In fact, their clothes are nasty. So it's when we tear down, we gossip about someone, we lie, we betray someone. Evil is everywhere. When we don't keep our word, when we're not honest, and we justify these things. Well, if you had known, well, no, we cannot justify ugliness. We cannot justify sin. When we have Jesus living inside of us, when we have come to faith in Christ and Jesus is living inside of us, we begin to look at others through his eyes. We begin to feel differently about life. You know, when something's new, you know, a baby, oh my gosh, they smell so good most of the time. And a puppy, you know how a puppy has this smell, or a new car, or whatever you want to, whatever, something new. When we have a storm and the air is so fresh right afterwards, after a rain shower, there's freshness, a clean feeling, and it kind of makes you feel good, doesn't it? We are in Christ. When we become new in Christ, we're different too. We're different too. We have that new heart. a new way of looking at things, new way of looking at people. And the thing is, people will begin to notice a change in us. It may not happen right away, because they knew us when, right? Back in the day. But eventually they'll begin to know, what is something new and different about you? What is it? And each new day that God gives us that opportunity, we have to what? To reach out, to mend, to fix, to repair, to start again. 1 Peter 3:15 says, live consistent lives. Be ready to give the reason for our hope. People begin to see the difference in you, those changes in you. They want to know what happened to you. What'd you get? Did you lose weight? Did you get a new hairdo? I mean, what? You seem different. Doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with your heart, your attitude, your thoughts. So each new day we have an opportunity to be reconciled with others, to touch others in a positive way, to reach out and show them the love of Jesus Christ, to help, to build up, to renew, to strengthen, to so that they can see Jesus in us. It may be the first time that they've ever encountered the living God, and it would be through you. Oh my goodness. Think about it. Through you. Through you. And sometimes it's just a smile, a touch, a shoulder to cry on, a listening ear, some type of help. Being there, just being there. Two of the greatest things, very briefly, I want to touch on this, is that two of the greatest things that we can do for ourselves and for others is to pray for them and to tell them about Jesus. I had a couple of stories, but I think getting on here, but one of them was about prayer, so I'll briefly tell you that, and the other one about the telling of Jesus, about Jesus. A friend of mine, Mary, oh my gosh, this was so long ago. She and her husband, Bill, were great friends with another couple, Joyce and Frank. And they went to church together, or they went to worship and praise together, they went out together, they did all kinds of things together, and they had been friends for years. And after Bill passed away, then Joyce and Frank were just a great support to Mary, as you can imagine. Well, not long, maybe 5 years or so after Bill passed, Joyce was diagnosed with cancer. And she suffered quite a bit. It was awful time. Well, Joyce passed away, and Mary wanted to be able to comfort Frank, just like Joyce and Frank helped Mary when Bill passed. But Frank didn't want her comfort. He didn't want to talk about Joyce. He didn't want to talk about God. He didn't want to talk to anyone, because he became very bitter, very hurt. He was so hurt but what God allowed Joyce to go through, and that God took Joyce from him. Well, Mary, we go by their house. She would take food, but he wouldn't answer the door. People of the church would try. He didn't want to have anything to do with anybody. Well, I don't know, maybe 5-6 months after Joyce had passed, Mary went over one day and she just pounded and pounded on the door until he had to come. She wasn't going to leave. And she said, Frank, I want to talk with you. I want to help you. He said, I don't need your help. She said, well, Frank, I've been praying for you and I'll continue to pray for you. And in no uncertain terms, he looked her in the eye and says, I don't want your prayers. And I don't want anybody praying for me. I don't want anybody talking to God about me or for me. And Mary, she was like about this tall, maybe 100 pounds. And she said, you know what? She told me this story. You know what, Frank? You don't have any say in it because I am going to pray for you and I will not stop. He had nothing to say about it, did he? She was going to pray for him, whether he wanted it or not. Well, it took a while. It took quite a long time, but it was probably about a year after Joyce had passed. She had a knock on her door, and she opened it, and it was Frank. She told me, you know, you and God just wouldn't leave me alone. You just wouldn't let me go. Thank you. Thank you. He came in, and they talked together. And they prayed together. Prayer is powerful. It's powerful. So we are to have the ministry of reconciliation, and this is one of the ways that we can do that, through prayer. The other is telling people what Jesus has done in our lives. What Jesus has done in our lives. With the love of Christ in us, we want what is good for others, and we want to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We want people to feel the joy of Christ in their life. And when we ask Jesus to come into our lives, he comes into our lives not only to be with us and to help us, but to share that love with others. To help others understand what it means to come to faith in Christ, what it means to have their sins forgiven, their slates wiped clean, to become pure and righteous in God's sight. And the thing is, Christ's love for us should compel us to let people know how much he has done in our own life. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do this. And the more intimately we love Jesus, the more we fall in love with Jesus. Then we can show that love to others. The more we can be a gateway or a channel of his love and his compassion and his presence. The last story. I used to work for an agency called Healthy Families. It's a long time ago. I'm telling you I'm telling old stories. And I was working there even when I started at Covenant Partners. And that was kind of crazy. We worked with first-time parents. I had, about 14 young women that I worked with. One of them was 13 years old. And we would go to their homes and help them with whatever, you know, parenting skills, all just kind of things. Just caring about them, to know that they had some support. And I can tell you this because Amber and Jaden is probably like 28, 29 years old now, but he was like 2 years old then. And Amber and I had them since Jaden was born. We took him to a little park over in Muncie on 12th Street. I think it's where that root beer stand is now. And there was like, they had a little ice cream place there. And so it's a little park. I don't even know what they call it. But they didn't have a lot of things to play on or anything. And so they had little sandboxes, like big, you know, how they had big old sandboxes and I think maybe swings or whatever. So we took him there, and they're sitting in the sandbox and playing. I thought, well, I will go get an ice cream cone or something as a treat. So I walked over, I'm bringing those back, and Amber looked up to say something to me, and from the time she looked up, what, seconds, Jaden had taken a big little, his little fistful of wet sand and stuffed it in his mouth. Oh my gosh! You know, we're like, you don't want to freak out about that kind of stuff, but he was really happy about it. So they had a water fountain over there. I put the cones down. I had like this cardboard thing. We put the cones down. We rushed over there and wanted to, we were getting that, held him under there to get all that sand and all that yucky stuff out of his mouth. And he did not like it. He wanted to keep that old yucky stuff in his mouth. And I said, honey, we've got to get all this sand out of your mouth, because it's not good for you, all this stuff in your mouth. We've got to get it out of your mouth. I've got a treat for you over here. Look. And I thought of this the other day, and it's just like God. God does the same thing for us, doesn't he? He holds us over this fountain. He says, spit out the dirt, honey. I've got something better for you right here. Sometimes we don't want to spit out the dirt. We say, this is my dirt. I'll keep it if I want to. God says, I've got something better for you. Spit out that dirt. Get rid of that ugliness. Get rid of that hate. Get rid of that unforgiveness. Get rid of it. I've got something so much better for you. My grace. You know, there's that old saying, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses you to stay that way. He refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. We should want to tell others about Jesus Christ. Revelation 21. One day God will create a new heaven and earth out of the remnants of the old. The created universe will be freed from its present state of decay and frustration. Death, crying, mourning, pain will be destroyed. The old order will have passed away. God will be at its heart. God will be with us. And the thing is, he can be with us right now. When we ask Jesus into our lives, when we come to faith in Christ, believe in who he is, repent of our sins, we receive him as our Savior, and we let Jesus shape us into the person he wants us to be. He will create in you anew. He will create in you anew. The old will be gone and the new will come. He will recreate you. So you know what? There really are do-overs in this life. Amen. I'm going to read this because I wrote it down this morning. It's a blessing, Mother Teresa. It says, may the Lord open your eyes that you may see Jesus in your brothers and sisters. May he open your ears that you may hear the cries of those in need, and open your hearts that you may love each other as he loves us. May he renew you in his spirit, free you, and make you all one in his love. Go in peace, but always come in hope. Amen.